do the prayer. One of the things you may note this morning is a recurring theme focused on the Word of God, and all that that means and entails. And we often refer to the Word, the Scripture, as bread, like we feed on the Word, right? And for that reason, you can see I'm put in your sight the elements of the communion table. Be references today in our scripture readings too of Jesus speaking of himself as the bread of life. And words are very powerful because we use them to bless each other, but they're powerful too because they can be used to curse. And so words have power. In fact, I think it's kind of interesting that scriptures teaches us that God used words to create, right? God spoke things into creation. And Jesus himself is referred to as the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, right? The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and lived with us. And one of the interesting things, and remembering that words are important and powerful, and we shouldn't underestimate the value and the import of God's Word in our life, and paying attention to it and listening to it and feeding on it. The words we use, we need to be careful about too. And there was one little wise saying in Tika. Tika had a book, and she would write quotes and song lyrics and so on, and things that she would resonate with. And among the sayings, sort of words of wisdom that Tika left us, she wrote, "Keep your words soft and gentle, because tomorrow you may have to eat them." Anyway, it fitted so well with our thoughts today. So as we bring our lives to God in prayer, I want us to entrust our lives to recognizing and appreciating the gift of the Word. So let us pray. Creator God, in the beginning was your Word, and with your voice, the universe came to exist. With your Word, you brought forth the day and night. With your Word, you gave us four seasons. With your Word, you gave us all the beasts of the air, the land, and the sea. It's because of your voice that humankind came into existence. It's because of your still voice that the Bible exists. Your holy Word teaches us. It gives us new life. It gives us new hope. It gave us a compass to navigate through this dark world. It is a lamp for our feet, a guide for our path. God, your Word is perfect. It's powerful. It is awesome. And we are nothing without it. It convicts us. It reassures us. It cuts like a two-edged sword. It is a fresh spring in a barren land. It is everything we need and everlasting. And we trust in your Word. And Lord, we trust you. It introduced us to the gift that is your Son, Jesus, who is the living Word. God, we thank you for your Word today. May it continue to speak to us from Genesis to Revelation. May we use it to show love and not to inspire hate. May we use it to show others the way. May it renew us as we travel the road you've set before us. And may it continue to give us peace in the middle of chaos. May it continue to restore, renew, and revive us. Oh God, thank you for your word. Amen. Let's stand and affirm. Be seated. Hear the gospel as it comes to us from John. We hear chapter 6, verses 56 to 69. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God. Diane and I have been sharing the dinner table this week with two of our young grandsons. Now, observing the challenge of wooing these little fellows to eat the meals prepared for them awakened memories of my own resistance to swallowing things that others claimed were good for me. Right? And after a brief respite following the years that I was encouraged by my parents to set a good example to my younger sisters, the pressure was back on when I found myself dining with our own young children. I spent years at the table, sitting before innumerable and diverse edibles, lovingly prepared by my dear spouse, Diane, while the scrutinizing watchful eyes of our four youngsters looked on. And I was acutely aware of their well-being and the import of my potential influence upon our children, that was enough of an incentive to bolster the raw courage necessary to place in my mouth things I used to as a young boy, sneak under the table to my dog, Pete. And the quandary remains. I'm flummoxed to this day. Why is it that those hard-to-swallow things were also the things that my elders claimed and insisted were good for me? Now, I'm proud to say that now I can not only eat them, I can chew them without plugging my nose, and even smile as I ingest them. I'm proud to say that Diane is also is able to say to Wes and Owen, "Look, Grandpa ate all his vegetables, now he can have dessert." Right? Friends, daily we are presented with a whole smorgasbord of thoughts, opinions, claims, statements, values, a cacophony of words and messages that appeal to our appetites for knowledge, for direction, and for meaning about life, the universe, and everything. And these are the days of smartphones. They do everything but make coffee, right? And our news and messages are instant. Even the gas pumps and refrigerators don video feeds of current news, trends, events, messages, ensure that something of all of this will appeal to our individual taste buds at any given moment. Needless to say, there is no lack of hunger-busting and thirst-quenching fare to be had. And despite the ease of availability, it seems to be the trend to make what we hunger for and thirst for even more convenient. Right? And now the convenience store will come to you. I recall the inconvenience of the Samaritan woman and her task of getting water from the village well. And I remember too Jesus' words to her: "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." And these words parallel Jesus' other claim, an assessment of things soon after 5,000 folks had their fill in an impromptu picnic by the Sea of Galilee. They could certainly run after Jesus for more of those all-you-can-eat filet-o-fish sandwiches, right? But they would most certainly grow hungry again. And Jesus knew what they were after. And he cautioned them. The bread they should work for, Jesus instructed, is not for the food that perishes, but rather they should work for the food that endures for eternal life. And they responded to Jesus' admonition. They said to him, in John 6:28 following, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him. Believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, It was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Sir, give us this bread. Give us this bread always. Friends, for many, the claims of Jesus and the message of the gospel is tough bread to swallow. It's not easy, particularly when there are a great many more palatable bread substitutes being touted today. Growth without loss. Life without a cross. Victory without surrender and pain-free birth. And yet our culture seems more bulimic and anorexic than ever before. Hunger for meaning, thirst for purpose, and craving for direction is not waning. And the aroma of fresh-baked bread wafts from every corner of our ramped-up, sensory-overloaded messaging. Our gospel lesson cites an instance where the teaching of Jesus at the synagogue in Capernaum was met by what appears to be a majority of scoffers and unbelievers, people who were simply unable to swallow what Jesus was claiming. In particular, Jesus claimed to be the one who came down from heaven. And like food that is hard to get down, one could try to make one's word a little more palatable by sugarcoating it or dipping it in something creamy and rich to disguise it or camouflage it. But the gospel message is one Jesus never hedged on. What you hear is what you get. And what you hear is who I am. And many who had been following Jesus demonstrated their inability to accept his claim. After having sat at the table to dine with him, so to speak, they simply got up and left the table. And now one of the things I find striking about our gospel lesson is there is never any indication that Jesus or those who believed in his message ever tried to restrain people from turning away. And to those who left from those who stayed, there were no words of pleading or folks running after them to change their minds. Jesus himself said, some will eat, some won't. Some will believe, and some will not. Some will receive me, and others will reject me. And the Apostle Paul knew how the gospel was not the most palatable when he wrote to the church at Corinth, saying in 1 Corinthians 1:18 following, for the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Missiologist Leslie Newbegin, in his book, Foolishness to the Greeks, states that the long-running debate about the relationship between the Jesus of history and the Christ of faith is simply one manifestation of the illusion that has haunted our culture ever since the Enlightenment. There is only one Jesus. There is only one history. Now, next Sunday, we will meet at the table. And we will be invited to remember. And we understand that in the breaking of bread, we find that the pieces actually come together. The bread restores us. The bread unites us and makes us what we eat, the body of the Lord. Yes, the gospel's tough to swallow. And as far as eating food that makes for true life goes, the bread from heaven is all there is. And you can leave the table in search of other more palatable bread. But like manna eaten by the Israelites, you will eat it and eventually die. Friends, there will be nothing else at the table. No sugar, no ketchup, no salt or cheese sauce. This is what we'll be having for supper. And you will be able to accept it, receive it, and eat it. Or you will choose to leave it and do without. I'd be lying if I said I understood it all. And God willing, next week, I won't be coming to the table because I know something. I'll be coming to the table because I believe in someone. I will come to the table because I'm known at the table. And I will come because the host invites me. And while it may be hard to swallow, I know it will be good for me. For what I eat and drink will forever sate my hunger and forever quench my thirst. And for that, I'm grateful. In response to this news, I invite us all to stand and join in a responsive reading and song.